This week, Register Radio is covering the Kermit Gosnell trial. Our reporter, Matt Archbold, will be using very graphic language to describe conditions at Gosnell's clinic. Due to the graphic nature of these descriptions, parental guidance is recommended. Thank you.
From the National Catholic Register, this is Register Radio, bringing light and clarity to the news and topics that affect your life.
This week on Register Radio, Jeanette DiMello will discuss the grand jury investigation of abortionist Kermit Gosnell with Register correspondent Matt Archbold. And in the second half of our program, Dan Berg is here. He'll be speaking with Marcus Grody about the 20th anniversary of the Coming Home Network. Welcome again to Register Radio. It's a co-production of EWTN and the National Catholic Register. I'm Tom Price, along with Dan Burke, Executive Director of the Register.
It's great to be with you, Tom.
And you, my friend, and Jeanette DiMello, Editor-in-Chief of the Register. Howdy.
Hello, it's good to be here today.
Jeanette, the Kermit Gosnell trial continues, and we're going to be talking about that in just a moment. But first, Dan and I want to discuss what is on everybody's mind this week, and that is not only the terrible explosions and the deaths in Boston, but also in West Texas. It's been a rough week.
It has been a rough week, and our hearts really grieve for those families who have been affected. The eight-year-old boy in Boston, and whose father had just completed the race, yeah, lost his life to these bombers. And it seems that that's coming to a conclusion, but the focus should be on prayer. The investigation will be ongoing and reveal a lot of things to us, like who they were, what their motivations were. But by God's mercy, I'm hoping by the time this weekend ends,
yes,
that it'll all have come to a conclusion, and that it'll allow the entire area of Boston, which has really been shut down, both,
yeah,
the commuter routes and homes and universities and schools, to really wake back up and get back on track and get their lives moving forward.
On Thursday, there was the interfaith service in Boston at the cathedral there, and I know that Cardinal Sean O'Malley had some very important things to say. We're going to be featuring that on EWTN radio and television, so we remind our listeners and viewers to stay tuned. Also, for all the breaking news, ncregister.com,
absolutely,
EWTNnews.com. We're going to stay on top of this. Obviously, you know, it's not as important for us to be covering every little thing about the story as it unfolds, but certainly we cannot lose the spiritual aspect of all this.
Well, and that's the greatest support we can give to our brothers and sisters who are suffering, those inside and outside of the church. We join them in their suffering and express our love and care for them in our prayers.
Absolutely. Thank you, Dan. Jeanette, as we were talking earlier about the Kermit Gosnell trial, it seems like some reporters have felt like lone rangers covering this story, but now finally some of the mainstream media are starting to wake up, pay a little bit attention to this grisly case, and we're delighted to have the Register's Matt Archbold joining us to bring us up to date and provide some perspective. Matt, welcome back to Register Radio.
Thank you for having me.
Well, Matt, thanks for being here today. This is a serious topic and one that's quite gruesome. I guess I warn our audience of the nature of what we're talking about. But I'll ask you, can you describe what's going on here at the Gosnell trial and what has been uncovered about Kermit Gosnell's clinic?
Sure. And it really started in 2010. Federal officials thought that Dr. Kermit Gosnell was running a pill mill out of his West Philly abortion clinic. But what they found in the raid as being reported has astounded and terrified the entire country. It includes body parts in orange juice cartons and cat food tins, jars of severed baby feet in closets, babies in the freezer, blood and urine on the walls and floors, cat feces, dirty instruments, dried blood everywhere, and I apologize to the listeners for even talking about this, but we do need to face what the truth is. And now further investigation, and the trial has resulted in reports of sexually transmitted diseases being spread among patients. A high school student was responsible for administering anesthetics.
Yeah, it's horrible. Right. And what exactly is Gosnell on trial for?
He's on trial for 40 counts, but 8 counts of murder, and 7 of them being babies born alive, being put on the floor in shoe boxes, or even in the toilet. God help us, in the toilet. Their skulls crushed, or their spines cut from their heads with scissors.
Yeah, it's just a horrific, horrific uncovering and a horrific crime. Now, Matt, why, I guess the question on everyone's mind is, why has this gone on for so long? I mean, there are, Gosnell was in business for decades.
Yeah, he was an abortionist before abortion was even legal. And in the 40 years he's been running his clinic in West Philadelphia, I think it's 4 times that his clinic was inspected at all, and not at all since, I believe, 1993 has Gosnell's clinic been inspected. That means throughout the administrations of Tom Ridge and Ed Rendell, the governors, both pro-abortion rights, they've never been inspected. And the sad thing is that the state was completely ignoring what was going on. The National Abortion Federation knew about Gosnell's clinic. When he applied to join that organization, they inspected it, and they turned him down. They were horrified by what they found, but did they report it?
Right.
No. And people who say, we care about women,
right,
they turned a blind eye.
Right. It seems many have said that this is, have reported this as an indictment of the abortion industry for that very reason, that they have turned a blind eye. What have they said to their own defense?
Well, I said, amazingly, they are attempting to blame pro-lifers for regulating the abortion industry.
Okay.
And making abortion more difficult to come by.
Okay.
They're saying that the poor women were essentially forced to go to clinics like Gosnell's. Now, Gosnell's lawyer himself, at this point, the prosecution is about to rest. So we're going to get into, everyone says that Gosnell himself is not going to speak on the stand. But he has reportedly said, this is to a patient, he said, this is the same care that I would give my own daughter. And Gosnell's lawyer seems to be saying that this is some sort of racist prosecution.
Oh, wow. Okay.
And one of the things that the lawyer, Jack McMahon, has continually gone after people on the stand for is when they say the baby was born alive, Jack McMahon keeps essentially putting forth that they don't really know. They don't have the medical background to understand if a baby was actually born alive.
Oh,
now,
goodness.
These are the same people Kermit Gosnell hired to help him in surgery.
Right.
But then they don't have the background to know if a baby is even alive or dead.
Right.
Amazing.
This is Jeanette DeMello with Register Radio. I'm speaking with Register writer Matt Archbold about the Gosnell trial. Now, Matt, there has been, or there was, what is called sometimes a media blackout on this trial. That is, the mainstream media weren't covering it for several weeks, it seems. And now they are. Describe what's happened in the past few weeks.
Okay, I live in Philadelphia, and I've been covering this story for quite a while. And I guess I'm pretty dumb, because reading the Philadelphia papers, I just figured that everyone else was hearing the same thing.
Sure.
Because in Philadelphia, you know, the papers are covering it. And then I was speaking to my mother up in New York and other people, and they hadn't heard anything about this. And it turns out that the national media was completely ignoring this. And this trial has some of the most horrific testimony ever heard in a courtroom. And no one would know it if they lived anywhere in the country outside of Philadelphia. And we all know why. It puts abortion in a bad light. And that is the most sacred thing to many people.
Right.
It's keeping abortion legal. And I also believe, in my heart, let's face it, if the woman who was killed in Gosnell's clinic was a beautiful suburbanite instead of an immigrant from South Asia, maybe the media may have been more interested.
Maybe. And that's actually a part of this. You mentioned before that This is seen as some sort of racial discrimination. Describe a little bit more why that is part of this narrative.
Well, and I think one of the reasons is obviously Dr. Kermit Gosnell is African American, but I think one of the reasons it was ignored for so long is because it was happening in a very poor and very African American neighborhood, and there were a lot of immigrants there, some of whom didn't speak English, and I think it's a lot easier to ignore things that go on in neighborhoods like those than it would be if it were happening in a more upscale neighborhood.
Well, I certainly hope that this heightens our awareness of these situations and helps us to make others more aware of what happens in these kind of clinics. Matt, we have just a minute left. Is there anything more you'd like to say?
Well, I think there's some good news coming out of this, in that the media has come out, and they are starting to cover it. I mean, they used every excuse in the book not to cover it, but the outrage from pro-lifers has essentially shamed them into covering this story. And that's a good thing to know, that if we do have a unified voice, that we can get our message out on this very, very important topic and others. And I think some states are now starting to look at abortion clinics and saying, yes, maybe we should keep an eye on this. You know, deregulation in so many industries is blamed for some dehumanizing trends.
Matt, my understanding is that it was actually social media and a Twitter barrage that really woke up some of the mainstream media. Are you hearing any of that?
Absolutely. And in fact, the National Catholic Register was running pieces on this, and many there were so many sites tweeting the media directly and asking them, why aren't you covering it? And, you know, some of the answers we were getting was so ridiculous. CNN said their staff was too small. The Daily Beast said it was just too gruesome to cover.
That makes it okay.
Right. You know the old thing, if it bleeds, it leads, but not when it comes to abortion, I guess.
Well, Matt, thank you so much for being with us today, for sharing this important story, and we'll continue to cover it. And even though it is gruesome, the story does need to be told. So thanks very much.
Thank you for having me.
Matt, we are so blessed to have you as boots on the ground right there in Philadelphia, and we'll be praying for you as well, because I know that this is a tough one to cover. Thank you so much for all that you're doing.
Thank you.
When we return, an old friend is going to join us to celebrate a special anniversary. This is Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Stay with us.
Hello, I'm Michael Warsaw, Chief Executive of EWTN and publisher of the National Catholic Register. We're in a time in history like no other, and our fight for religious freedom and the need for the new evangelization, it's essential to stay connected via the faithful Catholic content delivered by the Register. We've finally been able to help realize Mother Angelica's dream. She always wanted a newspaper as part of EWTN's media apostolate. Why? Because there's an important catechetical opportunity at the intersection of faith and culture. Since the 1920s, the Register has been advancing the truth of the Magisterium. This valuable resource will help you to better understand the faith and deepen your relationship with our Lord. Join the growing ranks of Register subscribers today and access the one source of leading voices and opinions concerning the issues that matter most to you.
To start your subscription to the National Catholic Register today, go to EWTN.com and click on the banner for the Register, or call 800-854-6316. That's EWTN.com and click on the Register subscription banner, or call 800-854-6316.
Let's return to Register Radio on EWTN.
And welcome back. Along with Jeanette DiMello and Dan Burke, I'm Tom Price. And you know, Dan, the important work of the Coming Home Network and its founder, Marcus Grodi, cannot be overstated, but it certainly can be celebrated. Marcus is here to talk about his apostolate's 20th anniversary. Hey, Marcus, welcome to Register Radio.
Well, Tom and Dan, it's a great pleasure not just to be on the radio with you, but to be with you. I just don't see you enough.
You're a good man.
Well, Marcus, I'm excited to be out there with you in Ohio soon to tape another episode of Journey Home, my favorite show on EWTN, and the amazing work that you do is so encouraging. Coming Home Network is in its 20th anniversary. Why don't you tell us a bit about how it all started? I think back in 92 you came into the church, right? And then
right.
it was birthed the Coming Home Network shortly thereafter.
Yeah, the 20 years that we've been doing this is kind of amazing to us, because we never intended in the beginning that it would be a nonprofit apostolate. We began in the beginning with a very myopic task. As a clergy convert, I recognized that when I was a Protestant, which I was for 40 years and then 10 years as a pastor, I was unfamiliar with other Protestant ministers becoming Catholic. I didn't know of any. I knew of Catholic priests and religious who'd become Protestant, and the only Protestants I knew that ever became Catholic essentially married into the church. And my assumption was they didn't know their faith very well. They wouldn't have done that.
Yeah.
But after I went through my own journey, sparked on by becoming reacquainted with an old seminary classmate, Scott Hahn, I began to hear of Protestant ministers becoming Catholic. And by the time I'd become Catholic in 92, my wife and I entered in December of 92, we not only had become acquainted with other non-Catholic clergy who had become Catholic, but we became friends with others who were still on the journey. And we recognized from our own experience the need for support. And I hate to use the word unique, because I don't want to make our apostolate sound any more important than it was. Thank you for your kind words. We consider ourselves a small apostolate, and our goal is just to stand here beside men and women on the journey. But maybe the unique aspect that I recognize from my own journey is that the Coming Home Network does not exist to push, pull, or prod anyone into the church. We are here to proclaim the beauty of the fullness of the Catholic faith, and then stand beside men and women on the journey, and then help them hear God and how God is calling them in their lives. We don't presume to know what God's will is for anybody in this world. It's hard enough to know what God's will is for ourselves. We do know God desires there to be a united church. And so we, as with the Holy Father and the hierarchy, we are very committed to working towards that goal of fulfilling the unity that our Lord prayed for in his great priestly prayer. But we also recognize the wisdom of the church in being very patient with people on their journey, because every individual person faces unique challenges in their lives. And so we began with the very myopic goal of focusing on helping Protestant ministers who are seeking to become Catholic. But over these 20 years, what we found is that so many people have contacted us with questions about becoming Catholic and facing a great variety of vocational and occupational, marital, psychological questions. And so we have come to see our focus not so much just on the 2,100 Protestant ministers from over 100 denominations that have contacted us over years, but in 20 years we've given out over 2 million newsletters to over 50,000 people who have come to us, distributed over 300,000 pieces of literature and been on radio and television, and you know, all with the goal of proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ in his church. And we're just very honored that God in his mercy has allowed us to be involved with this work.
Well, it is an amazing work. This is Dan Burke with Register Radio, and we're here with my favorite EWTN host, Marcus Grodi. He's the host of Journey Home program. Now, Tom Price is looking at me like, what am I, chopped liver? Right?
Well, apparently I am chopped liver,
no,
but that's okay. That's okay.
Okay, so I'll say he's my favorite television host. That's until I get in front of, you know, one of the other guys here.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah. But you know what? If I could jump in, I think one big reason, Marcus, for the wonderful success that the Coming Home Network has achieved is in great part to your personal
gentle, smiling, non-judgmental way of pointing people toward the Catholic Church. And I think a lot of that goes to you.
Well, I appreciate that. I'm very, very, maybe it's now that I've reached 61, I've come a long way in responding to the grace of God in my own life. And usually it's been kicking and screaming against what God's trying to do. But in the end, being very grateful for how merciful he's been to all of us, of course.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I've learned myself something which I'm sure you and your viewers and listeners already know. It's just harder for idiots like me to face up to, and that is that when it's all said and done, if the Lord called me home tonight, I found myself in a box tomorrow, and I'm standing before Jesus, that in the end, his questions wouldn't be about the Journey Home or the Coming Home Network or about a lot of other things that we've achieved, books we've written, talks we've given, all that. It would be about how we loved and how we loved our wives, yeah, our children, the people nearest to us. And that's what's most important, is how we have imitated Jesus in our lives. And in many ways, that's when they celebrated Mother's birthday the other night, and I didn't have a chance to join the program, that's what I would have said that I most affirm about Mother now, is that her love for Jesus and a desire to follow him completely. And as I work with men and women on the journey, in the end, it isn't about becoming Catholic. It's about being deeper in love with Jesus.
Amen. Yeah.
It's about converting deeper to Jesus, which is through his church.
Right.
But as the Catechism says, you can be a Catholic and not be saved if you don't love.
Right, right. Marcus, if we could, we've just got a few minutes left. Tell our audience a bit about the specific work that you do there. In general, we understand that you help folks find that deep love for Christ and move more profoundly into that relationship. But for the Coming Home Network, what are specific things you do? How do people find you? How do they connect with you? And then how do you help them?
Well, it's funny. When we began 20 years ago, the primary way we worked with people was through the phone and mail. We didn't even have emails yet. And now it's primarily through the Internet, our website, chnetwork.org, where there is a lot of information, there's a forum, but through email we're then connected with non-Catholics who are on the journey. And they have to come to us. We do not go out trying to convert folk. The Coming Home Network kind of exists to pick up the pieces after EWTN and other Catholic apostles have done their work. They proclaim the beauty of the church, and then people find themselves, oh no, now what do I do? And so they call us, and we have a wide network of helpers, many of whom are converts to the church who've been on the journey. We like to connect Baptist inquirers with Baptist converts because they know the questions.
Yeah.
And so that's what we do. We basically are here to help anybody. And that's not just Catholic clergy. We help fallen away Catholics. We even end up helping Catholics discover the beauty of their faith. Mm. So we're just here to do whatever we can to help people discover this beautiful church.
You know, that's an interesting choice of words, pick up the pieces. Because, you know, if someone has been a pastor, a Methodist pastor for 20, 30 years, and all of a sudden they say, oh my goodness, I need to become a Catholic, well, then they're actually cutting into their own livelihood, their own way of you know, survival.
Well, many of them believing that, and believing sincerely that this is what God had called them to do, had given up any idea of a secular career and had,
yeah,
dedicated 20, 30, 40 years of their lives,
sure,
to a life of ministry. It's a bit like in the Bible where Jesus heals a blind beggar. Well, we celebrate the fact that now that blind beggar can see. But now he can't beg anymore.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
What's he do next, right?
What's he going to do?
Yeah, yeah.
So his whole life changes.
Yeah.
you know, and that's what we're about. We're, and even, like I said, lifelong Catholics who all of a sudden discover what their faith really demands, simplicity and detachment. Whoa, what do I do now?
Yeah, right.
Conversion always requires radical change.
Well, Marcus, we're grateful for the work that you do. I've been a part of it off the show as well as on the show in helping a Methodist minister, an Anglican priest, and an Anglican bishop. And just grateful because I see the work beyond the show really having a huge impact on individuals, both clergy and non-clergy. So if people want to find out more, you can go to chnetwork.org. Thank you so much, Marcus.
Well, thank you both, and I will say one of the greatest privileges I've had in my life is to be associated with EWTN and you guys, so thanks a lot.
Thank you, Marcus. Don't be a stranger. Come see us, okay?
All right. God bless.
Okay, buddy. Don't forget you can listen to our show again by going to ncregister.com. Be sure to look for the microphone picture to listen to or download the show. Hey, thanks for joining us on Register Radio. For all of us at the Register and here at EWTN, I'm Tom Price. See you next week.
For more information about the National Catholic Register and about Register Radio, go to ncregister.com. Podcasts of Register Radio are posted on ncregister.com and on ewtn.com. Join us next week at this time for Register Radio on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.